All right, we're going to get started. Everyone just keep on eating, and I will start talking. Nehemiah 8, verse 10. This was Ezra and Nehemiah are here on the scene, and this is a day of mourning for the people. They are reading the law, and everyone is weeping and mourning. They're in a time of difficulty, and Ezra and Nehemiah say this to the people. They said to them, "Go your way. Eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Today I want to talk a bit about joy. Specifically, this verse from Nehemiah, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." We normally talk about fighting for joy, but we don't often think about fighting with joy. It says here, not that we have to fight for it, although that would also be true, but what we're getting at here is that we are to fight with it. Our joy is to be our strength. It is what makes us strong. So joy is primary. It's the weapon that we use in our battles. At all times, under our feet, there should be this bedrock of joy that we are standing upon. It's where we stand when we fight our battles. It's where we cry our tears. When we struggle and suffer in this world, we should be on a rock-solid foundation of unrelenting joy. Our joy should be relentless. We cry upon beds of joy. So we don't go looking for joy only after the battle is done. Joy is the thing we are to use to win our battles. We don't always think of it that way. When we face trials of many kinds, more often than not, we kind of grit our teeth, right? When you see hard times coming, you grit your teeth and you get to work. You have this grim determination. Or on the other hand, we can slump our shoulders and just hope it all goes away and we're defeated before we even start. Sometimes we can enter into a difficult time as tense as a grandma who doesn't have any cookies when her grandchildren stop by. Right? Very tense. There's no cookies for the grandchildren. Sometimes we think the worst, and so we expect the worst, and then more often than not, we just end up making sure the worst is what actually happens. We have no joy. Our fear and our misery end up being the very things that turn our trials into just one more failure in a long list of failures. Now, it might surprise you to learn that the scriptures teach no such thing. That is not how we are supposed to be, not how we are to think or act. It's exactly the opposite. Scripture teaches the joy of the Lord. That is our direction. That is our God-given directive. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength so that when hard times come, we don't crumble even though we might cry. Or if we have no cookies. Nothing is more concerning to an enemy if he sees his enemy laughing. Particularly laughing at him. Trying to cause fear in somebody only to have them laugh at you is a very good cause for alarm, right? That'll make you stop in your tracks and reconsider. What does that guy know that I don't? I thought he would be afraid. I thought he would run. I thought he would cower. And there he stands laughing. That'll make anybody pause. That's what we're supposed to be like. The joy of the Lord is to be our strength. It's what keeps us strong when battles come. It's what we fight with. We are to strike fear in the hearts of our enemy, but not by our fierceness, but by our laughter. Our laughter strikes fear into the heart of God's enemies. Over the noise of warfare should rise the joyful sound of Christians. Listen, the Christians are here. Are they singing? Are those guys fighting or are they feasting? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what we're doing. We fight by our feasting. The songs of the church should be heard loud and clear over the battlefield. We are the ones sitting down to feast. in the presence of our enemies, we are the ones who have come and have found a table laden heavy with food in the middle of the wilderness and in the middle of the battlefield. We find that God has set us a table in the presence of our enemies. And he bids us to come and to feast with him, unafraid, at peace, joyful, and laughing. Laughter is the battle cry of the Christians. We fight by feasting. We overcome by our faith. Our laughter is the doom of the devil. His evil schemes are undone when the saints of God are happy in the Lord. The devil can't stand our happiness because it reminds him that he has already lost. There's nothing that he can do now to win. It's over. And our laughter reminds him of it. It drives him mad. And know this for certain, he will do all that he can to make sure that we never so much as smile ever again. He hates our laughter. And unfortunately, some of us are all too willing to let him have his way. And we act as if it is the grumpiness of the Lord that is our strength. And when we get this wrong, we really mess it up. And we wonder why we have no power, why we're weak. Lack of joy leads to lack of strength. We need to commit this to memory. Joy is not optional for the Christian. It's not optional for the Christian. It is our strength. It is how we overcome in the middle of our trials. Why are the Christians laughing? It's because we know something that they don't. So the question, of course, as I say that, is how do we get it? That's the question on everyone's mind. The joy of the Lord sounds wonderful. I would like some of that. Thank you. I want to win. How do I get it? That's the question. We want to be a people that has it. A sad, grumpy, miserable group of people do not glorify God. A complaining, bitter, angry, sullen group of people do not glorify God. A fearful people do not glorify God. We want to be a people, a church that loves their God, loves one another, and are full of joy no matter what the circumstances are. Even if there are tears and pain, we can still have this joy. We do know something the world doesn't. We know of an empty grave. We know that tears are not the end of the story. We know that pain will not last. We know Jesus was raised from the dead, and this world has no power over us anymore. We are not playing on a level playing field. The victory has already been won. So our joy should overflow from this exact knowledge. So we want to know how we get this joy. And I'm going to suggest that in order to find this joy and walk in it, we have to keep two things in our minds. Always remember these two things. You hold them deeply in your heart, and it will lead to a joy that's going to make you strong. It won't make your troubles go away. Not a bit of it. That's not how it works. Your troubles will remain. But remembering these things will give you strength to walk in power through the difficulties all the way to the other side with joy in your heart and a lightness in your step. So the first thing we are to remember in our quest for the joy that brings strength is the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, which means that he is in control of everything that happens. There is no event outside of his power or his will or his control. Knowing this is going to help you look beyond who has brought trouble to your life and look to the one who has sent the trouble into your life. It's totally different. If all you focus on is the person who has brought you trouble, we can get angry or vengeful or spiteful. We lose our joy. We have a fight on our hands. Remembering that God is sovereign, you know that it comes from his hand. It will leave by his hand. He leads you into the valley. He leads you out of the valley. He has sent it to you for your good. He is in complete control. Remembering that God is sovereign takes your eyes off of who has brought the problem to your doorstep and puts it on who has sent it to your doorstep. Remembering that reminds you your situation is never out of control in any way. It's always being directed by your Heavenly Father. And so consider for a moment then this awesome power. If God is sovereign, He controls all of it. A good question to ask then, how does God view disaster? Disaster in light of His power. When things go wrong in this world, when bad things happen, when you are hurting, when you are struggling, when you're in your trial, when everything is going wrong, what does God think when He sees His enemies oppressing His people? Psalm 37:13. The wicked scheme against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs, seeing that their day is coming. Psalm 2:4. The wicked say, let us break their chains and cast away their cords. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord taunts them. Psalm 59:7-8. See what they spew from their mouths, sharp words from their lips, for who can hear us? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. Our God is a laughing God. He finds it funny that anyone could think that they could get their own way apart from Him. The evil intentions of this world are a punchline to the mind of God. He is sovereign over everything. Absolute power and dominion belong to Him. And now here, this puny little being whose very next breath depends upon whether God gives it to him or not, thinks that he can contend with the Almighty. That is a joke. And God responds appropriately with laughter. And in so doing, in those moments, He is teaching us how to respond appropriately as well. God laughs at His enemies, and in a very real way, so should we. We are to rest in His power, and when we truly realize that His power is absolute, we should start to laugh with the preposterousness of our enemies. It's really worth giggling about a little bit. They really think that they can hurt the God of the universe. They really think that they can thwart His plans. They really think that they have power in this battle. Well, that's just silly. Rather, with our head held high and joy bubbling over because we know who our God is and we know His power, we can stand on the solid foundation of our God and His joy, and we can respond with joy of our own. Your troubles won't be gone. It'll still be hard. But you will have the strength to fight with your joy to overcome. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we can say with the scriptures, Isaiah 12:2, surely God is my salvation. I will trust. I will not be afraid. The Lord is my strength. He is my song. He has become my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise Him. I will exalt Him. All too often we grumble because we don't get our own way, when we should be joyful because God is getting His. All the time, God is getting His way. That should be a source of joy to us. Second thing we need to remember is God's goodness. His sovereign power would be absolutely terrifying without this peace. When I was younger, the sovereignty of God drove me crazy. It kept me up at night, and I looked in around the world and I saw terrible things, and I thought, if this is what the sovereign God of the universe does, I can't trust Him. He terrifies me. And I was so afraid of Him because I didn't know He was good. I saw that He was sovereign, and it frightened me. It so frightened me until I remembered His goodness. God never uses His power for evil. He cannot be tempted, nor does He ever tempt anyone. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That was the verse that I clung to. There is no darkness in him at all. That is one of the most comforting verses in the entire Bible. When you look at the evil in the world, when you look at the troubles you face, know for certain that God is good. There is no darkness in him at all. He is light and he is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God uses his sovereign power for your good. He is always good, and he has promised to work all things together for your good. And all things means all things. That means every trial. Each one is ending in good. So yes, we know something that the enemies of God don't. They can't win. They can't defeat us. Our end is going to be good. And there's nothing anyone can do to change it. And so we can laugh in joy when we remember God's power and when we remember his goodness. You doubt either one of those things, fear is going to haunt you. We remember God's power and his goodness. However high the waves may crash in your life, God's goodness is greater. And because of that, our joy should be bigger than all the waves that we face. And when our joy is bigger than the waves we face, our strength is going to be bigger too. It's going to be bigger than the waves. Let it rain. We know who our God is. From Jeremiah 33, the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of the bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those bringing thank offerings into the house of the Lord, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and his loving kindness endures forever." How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You lavish it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. Listen, his goodness does not depend upon you. God does not change like the seasons or like the rising and the setting of the sun. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His goodness does not change. When he chose you, he already knew of all your weaknesses. He knew of your troubles. He knew of your fears. He knew of your sins. He knew of your failures. When he chose you, he already knew everything about you. Do not be dismayed at your weakness. You're not going to change his mind. He already knows. God is good, and he is good toward his people. We need to rise far, far above our difficult circumstances and sit in the throne room of God's power and goodness. Again, you doubt either one of those, you will be adrift. God's throne room is a place of unending joy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the cry. You are invited to that feast of joy. And our joy in him gives us strength to face the day with hearts bursting with laughter. We cry. Yes, we do. Absolutely, we do. But we cry upon beds of joy. Joy made up of God's sovereignty and his goodness. Our hope should be as big as God is good. Our hope should be as big as God is good. May our hope be as his goodness is. If your God is not a happy one, you will never be happy either. So we ask, do you believe that God's happy? Is he sovereign and good? Does God delight in his people? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. God is happy to give you the kingdom. He delights in lavishing all good things upon his people. He is the blessed God who blesses. So in your mind, is he the blessed God or is he the grumpy God? Is he a stingy God, a spiteful God, a vindictive God? Or is he generous? Does he delight to give his people the kingdom? Who is he? If your God is not a happy God, not only is he not the God of the Bible, but if your God is not happy, neither will you ever be. You live in fear of his wrath and his judgment and his anger instead of trusting in his goodness and his mercy and his love. and we lose our way. God is most blessed, and to be blessed means to be happy. To be blessed means to have divine joy. It means to have peace and contentment. It means to be fully satisfied, regardless of the circumstances, joyful. And we can have it. The Bible says that God Himself is the blessed God. He is most happy. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. A familiar verse. Do you believe it? That there are pleasures forevermore in the hand of God. There is fullness of joy in Him. This is not a grumpy God. John 15:11, Jesus speaking, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Jesus is full of joy. And He wants you to have it. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. God offers His joy to us. If you think He is angry all the time, it's no wonder that you're miserable. You find God's joy and you find your own. The joy of the Lord is your strength. His joy becomes your joy. His joy becomes our joy. A sad, miserable group of people cannot glorify the happy and blessed God. We are a blessed people because we are the descendants of the living God through Jesus Christ. You think about that? His blessing is ours, for we are descended from Christ Himself, and our faith conquers the world. We share in Christ's blessing. We are His children. We are descendants of Christ, and His joy can be ours. Our joy is worship. Our joy is strength. Our joy is warfare. It's solid and sure ground under our feet, and our God goes before us. He beckons us to follow Him and to join Him in His happy conquering. So yes, we have to fight for joy. That's true. But it is also true that we fight with our joy. They should hear us singing over the battle. They should see us feasting in the middle of the fight. God has set a table and He has invited us to come. He is in control and He is good. As individuals and as a church, as a people, I'm utterly convinced we have to learn how to celebrate. We have to learn how to have a good time. We need to learn how to have laughter and to smile and to sing and to dance. I think I might teach you a dance 2 weeks from now. I got right now? I got a couple. I can do it. I've been working on it. The shim sham shimmy. I'm working on it. But I do think we have to learn how to celebrate. As we trust in our God, as we know His sovereignty and His goodness, joy has to be the result. There's no other conclusion from God's sovereignty and His goodness towards His people that He has rescued. That is the end result. That is our strength. That is how we face our trials and our troubles. With laughter and singing, even though we cry, even though we are hurt, even though hearts are broken. You remember His sovereignty, remember His goodness, and His joy, the joy of the Lord, becomes yours. And we need to share that with one another, together in the church, in life, reminding each other, walking together, learning how to celebrate. I think it is one of the great spiritual disciplines to learn how to celebrate before the Lord. As Ezra and Nehemiah said, this is a day not of mourning. It's a day of celebration. It's holy to the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is the call. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We want to walk in that. That is one of the main tenets that we want to be talking about as we move forward into the new ministries. Understanding masculinity and femininity and those things we talked about. But how joy is to permeate all that we do. This is not to be a tedious life. It is to be full of joy and laughter. And God offers it to us. It is a light in the darkness. So we fight for joy and we fight with joy. And therefore may the joy of the Lord be the strength of Cornerstone Bible Church. All right, we'll stop there.